Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
And just like that, it's time for loose reads. Morena, Suri.
Morena, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad, just, yes, yeah, struck with the same cold everyone else seems to be at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know, I know her too well.
The last of those winter bugs are just hanging on.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's like the shoulder season, Zay. It's when all the bugs come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But when you're sick in bed, good time to get to a book, right?
Exactly. Great reading opportunity. And I've been reading one of my favorite authors, and actually a Time Out favorite author, Olga Tokarczuk. There's just been a new printing of her book, House of Day, House of Night. I think it was first translated in 2002, that has had a major reprint by Text and Fitzcarraldo. So for anyone who's, I think we've reviewed, like last year we reviewed The Empusium.
I love that book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good, eh?
Yeah.
I think if you loved Empusium, you'll really like House of Day, House of Night. It's got that same sort of like ephemeral, fairy tale-y, gothic angle to it. Mm. And yeah, she's won the Booker International for Flights, won the Nobel Prize. So very heavily awarded Polish writer. And House of Day, House of Night is like mind-blowing, and honestly actually great reading while you're sick. It is kind of like I don't know, it's kind of like hallucinogenic,
the kind book. Of like a fever dream, eh?
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
Like, it kind of reminds me of Flights in that it is like a fragmented novel. It's definitely not, if you're looking for something that follows like a direct like narrative plot or is like a super plot driven book, this might not be for you. Mm-hmm. But if you don't mind, like, it's, I describe it as like a mosaic. Like, it's comprised of short stories of all of the people who live in this like small Polish town that's on the border of Czechoslovakia, and in particular this like even smaller town embedded in there, which is kind of described as like this dark, damp, small place. It's like a town that's sort of like bordered by mountains on either side and these like dense forests. So in the winter, it's a place that almost gets zero sunlight through the year. And it sort of looks at how like this landscape, both in sort of metaphorical ways and literal ways, rushes like these early deaths of the characters that inhabit it. So we have stories of people like Marek, who is a drunk, who is born as like a beautiful boy, doted on by his mother and his sisters, but this sort of like creates an unending resentment from his father. So Marek is like beaten as a young boy constantly by his father, and as he gets older, obviously this like has a psychological imprint on him, and he becomes drunk. And in his sort of like drunken states, he starts to believe that his like soul and his body is like partly captured by this great big like Polish heron. And this kind of drives him to insanity, and he ends up dying by suicide, which is not a plot spoiler, because death is like so heavily imbued in this book. But yeah, I guess that's like one of the more like metaphysical or like psychological ways that someone veers towards death. But then there's also literal deaths of like there's this woman who makes these mushroom croquettes that are infamous in the village, and one day her son and some of the other school kids get into this woman's like hoard of mushrooms, and without having obviously the knowledge of the mother, they engorge themselves on these mushrooms and some end up getting poisoned. There's stories of Krisha, who's a bank worker, who has these dreams that she falls in love and marries her soulmate, this man named Amos, and looks him up in the phone book, and he lives like halfway across Poland. She sort of tricks to find him and confronts him and tells him that, you know, I've come to you because I've dreamt of you and you're my soulmate. And he finds this obviously kind of cooked and insane, but she is like, he just keeps asking her, like, so how did you dream of me, and why did you want to come find me after you dreamt of me? But, you know, she's so certain that this sort of like, that this is meant to be, even when the reality of being with this man ends up being horrible, she's so assured by her dream. Yeah,
that's like, and such then, a nightmare for her, you know,
ultimate Delulu.
Truly, your literal dream man ends up being like a bore, horrible,
and also not into you. That's the worst bit.
Oh, so true. Poor Krisha. And then you also have stories of, it's like, so you have like those sort of like narrative threads, and then there's also like a little bit of nonfiction that's imbued in there, these sort of fragments of like mythology, of nature writing. So there's like a pretty long passage about a Polish saint. She's a woman who, when she was like really young, was a real beauty, and she contained what they describe as like a physical beauty, but also a celestial beauty. And her father is like, the older she gets and the more beautiful she becomes, her father becomes terrified of the prospect of her, I don't know, maybe wasting her beauty. Maybe it's just too overwhelming for him to be faced with this kind of powerful beauty. And so he attempts to marry her off to one of the generals in his army regiment, and she refuses and asks God for his help. And like in the story, God saves her by giving her the face of Jesus. So she becomes this kind of bearded woman who's called upon by like the local village people to like, you know, save ill children. And, you know, she's really sort of, she's very highly regarded in the small town. And that sort of links on to a story about a young monk who's in this sort of interesting relationship with a fellow monk named Brother Celestial. And they have this sort of loving, tender relationship, and this monk sees like the image of this woman hammered to a cross and sort of starts questioning his own gender identity and starts thinking more about his feelings of wanting to not only fall in love or like have effeminate traits, but fully inhabiting the body of a woman. So lots of interesting things in there about like trans identity and trans love as well. It's like a really fascinating like mosaic of stories in here. It's really, it feels a lot like the book is entirely in dialogue with like the question of how mythology and the natural world shapes us, how the natural world shapes our dreams, collective consciousness and collective dreams. Each of the stories is linked not only by the characters in the village, but also about their connection to the land, their connection to everything that's going on around them. these people's hopes and dreams are weirdly intertwined. And I've never really quite read something that writes about collective consciousness in that way. And each story is like this little mosaic where, you know, it's crucial to like the end picture, but each of the stories, each of the mosaics, like play as an important part to the whole, as each other. It's like, yeah, it's really a stunning work, especially when you consider that like it's all written. Usually short stories, I think, don't veer away from like the decorative in English, which I really don't mind. I love beautiful prosaic writing, but everything in House of Day, House of Night is written with like this quite sparse, cold language. It's a fascinating, fascinating read. And I did read it in like 3 days when I was like sick in bed. So
yeah, totally. You've got me hooked. I love a book like that where it kind of like what's real, what is, and they all link back to those, you know, very human at the end of the day.
I feel like things. Totally. I feel like Olga, how do you say her last name? Tokarczuk.
Yeah, I think it's Tokarczuk.
Tokarczuk.
Yeah, I think it's Tokarczuk.
I feel like her writing is very, like, it gets quite absurd, but also still very human. So it's, like, has those elements. Like, The Imposium is, like, has these crazy elements of, like, murder mystery, but then it's, like, still sort of quite realistic and it doesn't feel completely out the gate.
I totally think so. And I think it's because she really has, like, her finger on the pulse of, like, you know, like to be human is absurd. Like in a world where we're constantly, I guess, like defining or trying to understand like human psychology through like rational behavior, I think like Olga very much understands that like, to be human is like a somewhat hallucinatory experience. And we're so driven by dreams and the non-real as much as we are by the real around us, which makes super interesting writing.
It's all a bit ridiculous, isn't it?
All a bit silly.
That's how it feels sometimes. Oh, sorry, this sounds like an incredible book, House of Day, House of Night from Olga Tokarczuk. Well done. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sorry.
And see you both in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we hope you get well soon.
Yeah, rest up, look after yourself.
Thank you. Bye.
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 That was Loose Reads.